Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of Saint Dominic. I am sure that most of you listening to this program know who Saint Dominic is, but for those of you who do not, let me just share something again from Magnificat magazine. He was born in 1170 in Spain, and he entered an order called the Augustinian Canons. And he was preaching against the Albigensian heresy in France, and it was there he saw the need for solid preachers of the gospel who would be fortified by study, strengthened by prayer, and confirmed in poverty. And so the men who followed Dominic in this new form of religious life became known as the Order of Preachers or the Dominicans. The Order of Preachers or the Dominicans. So we honor Saint Dominic today, who, through his preaching of the gospel, brought truth to so many. And may Saint Dominic come to the help of your church by his merits and teaching, O Lord, and may he, who was an outstanding preacher of your truth, be a devoted intercessor on our behalf. Saint Dominic, pray for us. We need much clarity today in our teaching and in our preaching, that people might come to know the truth once again. Truth has been subordinated, shall we say, to personal preferences and what's good for me and what I like and what I want. And none of that will lead us ultimately to happiness. A momentary pleasure maybe, but not real happiness. The only thing that's going to lead us to true happiness is to walk in union with the Son of God and to give our lives to him. So once again, Saint Dominic understood that, and we ask him, especially on his feast, to pray for us, that we might have a deeper and deeper hunger and thirst for the truth, and then to make the decision to live our lives based on truth. I've said this often before, but I say it again, you will never be happier than when you do that. First reading today is from the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. Poor Moses, he gets it from the people, and now he gets it from Miriam and Aaron. And they spoke against him on the pretext of the marriage that he had contracted with the Cushite woman. They complained, "Is it through Moses alone that the Lord speaks? Does he not speak through us also?" See how pride gets in there? "You mean you're the only one who hears God? Don't I hear God?" Well, the question is, are you living in the truth? That's the only way you can hear the true voice of God, is to live in the truth. "Does he not speak through us also?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses himself was by far the meekest man on the face of the earth. Meek, strength under control. So at once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, come out, you three, to the meeting tent." And the three of them went. And then the Lord came down in the column of cloud, and standing at the entrance of the tent, he called Aaron and Miriam. When both came forward, he said, "Now listen to the words of the Lord. Should there be a prophet among you, in visions will I reveal myself to him. In dreams will I speak to him. Not so with my servant Moses. Throughout my house he bears my trust." How would you like to have God himself represent you and speak on your behalf? "Throughout my house he bears my trust. Face to face I speak to him, plainly and not in riddles. The presence of the Lord he beholds. Why then do you not fear to speak against my servant Moses?" Why do you think you can speak against him when he has my trust? So angry was the Lord against them that when he departed And the cloud withdrew from the tent. There was Miriam, a snow-white leper, the dreadful disease. Lord punished her for her arrogance and for her pride. When Aaron turned and saw her a leper, he said to Moses, "Ah, my Lord, please do not charge us with the sin that we have foolishly committed. Let her not thus be like the stillborn babe that comes forth from its mother's womb with its flesh half consumed." And then Moses cried to the Lord, "Please, Lord, not this. Pray, heal her." Moses could have said, "Well, she deserved it. She spoke against me. She's ridiculing me. She deserves it." Look what Moses did. He prays for forgiveness for her. And he asked God to heal her. Look at that. Do we live according to what Jesus told us? Love one another as I have loved you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we're going to be true Christians, true Catholics, we have to grapple with this in our own lives. Can't hold on to grudges. You can't withhold forgiveness if you want to follow the Lord, if you want to belong to Him, if you want to know His saving grace and power in your life. Psalm 51 says, "Be merciful, O God, for we have sinned." We do. We do sin. We do fail in those areas. But how quickly do you repent? Do you carry grudges? You say it's up to the other person. They're the ones who did it. They've got to come to me first. No, 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 no. Do you give yourself to the Lord? Do you follow Him? Do you obey Him? Love as I have loved you. What would happen to us if God held grudges against us? What would happen to us if God did not forgive us? We'd be quickly condemned to hell. That's what would happen. And God says, "Love as I have loved." Have mercy, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be justified in your sentence, vindicated when you condemn me. It's justice. It's a form of justice. Indeed, in guilt was I born. In sin, my mother conceived me. But then you turn back to the Lord and say, "A clean heart create for me, O God. A steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not off from your presence. And your Holy Spirit take not from me." Pray that psalm. Pray it daily. Ask for forgiveness where you're guilty. Ask for healing where you've been sinned against. But turn to the Lord. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 36, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowds. And after doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, the deepest part of the night, during the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. He appears to them. He's revealing himself in his power, because he wants them to trust him. They were the first. Now we're called to trust those who saw him. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter's so impetuous. "If this is you, then let me do what you're doing. Command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Isn't that true of us? We get our eyes fixed on the Lord, and we say, "Lord, I can do this." And we're saying, "I." Notice that. "I can do this. Okay, just keep my eyes fixed on you. I can do this." And then we look at the circumstances, and we very quickly give in to fear. We all do that at some point or another. "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" The winds, the waves, he's on the water, and Jesus is saying to him, "Why did you doubt?" And after they got into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, see, it's another sign that Jesus did to them to strengthen their faith, because they were going to have to carry it after he was crucified. Anybody could have lost their faith at the crucifixion, but he's manifesting himself so that they will hang in there. Most of them did. "Truly, you are the Son of God." And after making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many touched it, and as many as touched it, they were all healed. Brothers and sisters, God in his mercy is showing his power. He's showing his glory. He's revealing himself to us. He's revealing himself. In the scriptures, this is the living word of God. This is given to us that we too might believe. Are you willing to? This is not any book. This is a book of the Gospels. It's the book of the letters, handed down from generation to generation, from the earliest of times, when Jesus walked the earth. "Oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt?" Oh, you could poke all kinds of holes, but the truth is the truth. You could try to poke all kinds of holes, but the truth is the truth. Jesus came, and he came in the flesh. He came to reveal himself to us, so that we might allow his Holy Spirit to work through us and extend his teaching, extend his truth to all the world. Have you given yourself? Do you do your part, whatever that part is? Might be a small group of people in a workplace. It might be friends. It might be people that you're doing some kind of service and you associate with them. It might be people with whom you recreate in some way. There are all kinds of situations, brothers and sisters, in which we can bring the presence of Christ. You don't have to stand up and read the gospel and preach it. Live it. Live it. And the more you live it, the more God's word will speak through you to the lives of others. May God use us all, brothers and sisters. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.